So you just notice how you start creating this imbalance in your family, and then all of a sudden there's this resentment toward that one sibling.
Welcome to the Juggling the Chaos of Recovery podcast, where we focus on health, wellness, and overcoming all types of addictions. You're in the right place if you're a mom, dad, friend, sibling, or caregiver who has a loved one who is or was struggling with an eating disorder or any other kind of addiction. In a time when everything seems heavy, I'm here to bring you a real yet lighthearted take on what the heck we are all supposed to do with our lives while we care for our loved ones who are struggling. One thing holds true throughout it all. You can't juggle the chaos without smiling, at least a little bit. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the podcast, the Juggling the Chaos of Recovery podcast. I am your host, Moira Gorski, and so glad that you are coming back to listen today. I'm glad that you're finding value with this and a little stream of hope in this crazy world of ours. Today, I have bringing to you another one of my friends for her to share her story. Everyone has a story, I have found, as we continue to talk with others and open up and be authentic. You know, everyone does have a story. And I met this gal, Tammy, in the work that I do, in the business that we both do of helping other people live a life of wellness and live a life thriving and feeling good. And as I've mentioned before, I've been involved with that business for about 20 years. I think Tammy a little bit longer than that. And so we've met as we're in close proximity to each other, neighboring states in similar groups. And so I've met her and, again, knew her in the business. And I knew that she had some family struggles. And I know that she kind of pulled back a bit from her business. That's what I kind of saw happening. And I certainly knew enough not to reach out during those tough times. Although now, even looking back, I feel like sometimes it's good to reach out to people when they're struggling, because I know that that's sometimes a lifeline and a welcome call in the midst of chaos and juggling. But recently, and after I started this podcast, I mean, Tammy's been a wonderful supporter of me, a wonderful friend of mine, a supporter of me as I've shared my heart and shared the connections and the stories on this podcast. And so I wanted Tammy to come on and share her story of her family struggles, her daughter struggles, but really coming from a point of a mother similar to me who had a daughter who struggled around her, and really how that impacted her, how it impacted the family, and again, how she has been able to come through that and heal and find hope and some healing and helping others. So welcome, Tammy. Tammy Johnson, welcome to the podcast today, and I'm so glad that you are here.
Thank you, Moira. And what a privilege it is just to share my story, and I'm hoping that it'll help you if any of these same situations are something you're experiencing. And Moira, I want to say too, I know that through different things you've been going through with your daughter, I knew we were both actually going through some of it at the same time. So I do remember reaching out to you once and just saying, I'm praying for you. So it's just sometimes nice at different times to reach out to people you see. And I know you did that indirectly too, Moira, for me. Mm-hmm. So if you allow me to share a little bit of my story, I have four adult children now and four grandkids, but this took place actually in my family even before they all were adults. I homeschooled, and for the reason of just that my son was put in a Christian school and the curriculum just didn't seem like it was a good fit for him. So when I brought him home, the other kids were wanting to be at home too. And so we did a lot of things with other families, and so had a lot of interaction and social fun times together with others. So it wasn't like they were isolated. But anyway, through these interactions with other families, I noticed my youngest daughter just had some really odd, glitchy things that would go on. She would do things or say things that as she got older that other kids would find odd, or just they wouldn't want to be around her. And I kept trying to look for what they were, and I didn't feel like I could really see those things, but there was definitely something going on, because I remember even early on one of her really good friends, or my good friends who also had a daughter, didn't want Maggie to come to her birthday party. And I thought, okay, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. You know, that was kind of the first like sign that, okay, is it my daughter or is it this other person? And actually, as time went on, I realized it was just the way she related. And so after working with her quite a long time and her not having her alphabet, I did get her tested, and she had very severe dyslexia to the point of where B, P's, D's all were the same to her. Letters were floating in the air. I mean, just, yeah, really severe. So I started on this long journey of taking her to every therapy I could find that would possibly help. So I had her a private OT gal. I had a tutor that I hired, and I also worked with her 5 to 7 days a week on her reading skills. And then we worked, of course, in the home on her ability to communicate with people and her ability to with interacting with people, but really to no avail. It just seemed like she had such glitchy things with kids. And I think a lot of it too had to do with she just didn't understand things the same way other people did. Mm-hmm. And so people had very little tolerance for that. And I remember just feeling judged a lot, like, why don't you discipline your daughter? Or why don't you do this or that? And I didn't feel like people really understood. And even people were saying, you need to put her in school and put her so that she gets the help for this or that. And I asked them specifically, like, what kind of services would you offer her? And they would say, well, maybe twice a week we can give her some extra reading. And I'm like, I can give her 5 to 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. I mean, really, we had bought some property, sold it, and we used that $50,000 for every therapy we could find. So seriously, it was a God blessing that we had that, but we were able to do what we wanted. So vision therapy, just whatever I thought would help with the kind of the mind body piece. So then just as over time, we just noticed that those things continued. She did improve in her learning ability, but the social piece really was hard. And so we just saw her really being negative about herself. She'd start banging her head when she was around 13 on the wall. And even her siblings would just kind of avoid her and had some resentment. That caused a lot of problems too. We were like, okay, should we get some family therapy? Because there was a lot of resentment toward her getting so much attention. Mm. And even to the point where I remember my one daughter sharing with me that I would go and kiss Maggie goodnight, but not her. And she would switch different sides of the bed to make sure I would kiss her goodnight. And I started to realize that I was so stressed out with all Maggie's constant, persistent, like mom, mom, mom stuff that I would neglect the other kids. And some of the other kids, they did okay with that, but others it really affected. So you just notice how you start creating this imbalance in your family. And then all of a sudden there's this resentment toward that one sibling because she's the one causing this.
Yeah. I mean, I even saw that with our, you know, our oldest son when, you know, when I found Shackley in nutrition, I was looking for help for him because he was a really sick child and he just had a hard time being healthy. And there was a lot of attention with him, you know, going to the doctors and the allergists and things like that. And I being with him as he started to get sick. And I saw that I was even just giving more time to him. And certainly I noticed that with my daughter as she was struggling too, you know, so much attention. And again, you're doing what you think is the best, right? But like you said, it impacts those around you too.
Yeah. And so often we point at the one child that seems to be the point of it, but it's really the whole family dynamics because we don't realize that we're kind of, you know, trying to keep one person from blowing up or, you know, getting out of control. And in the process, we kind of think the other ones are okay. And we realize they're not really. Mm-hmm. So, and that's the whole balancing piece for moms is how do we balance each child and their needs with this one child that seems to demand so much more. I mean, she would blow up and go in a room and slam the door and, you know, the side of the door with the wood would all be flying off and she'd be like, you know, I mean, slamming doors. And
yes.
We were constantly fixing our door. I mean, I laugh now, but it was really stressful. I mean, I was afraid. And so then also it affected myself and my husband in the sense that we were tiptoeing, eggshelling around her, thinking, oh, when is she going to blow up next?
Right.
When is she going to run away? Or, you know, so we tried not to do things. And again, it builds more resentment within the family because she had different rules in a sense than they did. Mm-hmm. So, and she became very self-centered, and she was quite rude to me and to Steve. And Steve's way of dealing with those, he would just get angry. Mm-hmm. And he just really didn't discuss it with people, where I spent a lot of time with talking to other people with ideas of what I could do. I had a few really close friends I could share. And I was really guarded with that, because I felt like there was a couple people that just were very judgmental, like I should do this or that. And I felt like, well, they don't really understand what it's like to have a child that has such extreme disability that it causes her to perceive and to respond and differently. Like Maggie always felt like she wanted to break a pencil. That's kind of that vestibular of wanting something just so that she would feel better. So she would do things to make herself feel better. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times for some kids, it ends up into drugs and all that. For Maggie, it was like cutting her wrist, banging her head, just kind of wailing for like a long time about, she didn't even know. And then she did sneak out a little bit. She started to get together with other people, but they were accepting, but they weren't. She would freak them out, because she would just do really, she would start screaming, you know, for like an hour, and they'd all be like, what's going on with her? We don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, so she herself didn't even understand what was going on. So long story short, Maggie started to get better. She graduated from school, and that was a blessing on the Christian school. We ended up putting her part-time in the school, and then we homeschooled her the rest. So that worked out so that she wasn't under the pressure of being around all these people that judged her. And then she could be at home to finish her math. So she graduated and did pretty well. Actually, she's really a bright girl. So, then she went to get a job, and she really worked hard at whatever she needed to do to get the job. And, she worked at Buffalo Wild Wings. And so while she was there, she also decided to take the ACT. We did that a little bit later, just because she emotionally and her maturity wasn't at the point where she could do it. But this is the kind of disability she had. She was able to have 3 weeks to do the test. She had to have somebody read it to her. And then she had like an extra hour or 2 hours on each session to finish it. I mean, that's just unheard of. So, but I had the documentation for what her disability was, and that's what she qualified for. Mm-hmm. So she actually did pretty good, I mean, on the ACT, and she was able to be a person that could go to college. That's what it showed. So anyway, while she was working at this place, she met this guy. And on a positive, she always saved her money, so she had a ton of money in the bank. And this young man noticed her and showed her attention, and they started hanging out. And it was very concerning to me, of course. And I'm like, just be really careful. We don't know, you know, what he's about, and you don't know him that well. And so she...
And she was still living at home.
She was living at home. So all this time she's living at home. And I didn't mention this earlier, but we did put her, when she came home one day, and she ended up taking some extra pills. This is a big piece that I missed, but I'll quick rewind here a little bit. And she tried to commit suicide in a sense, but she did or she didn't. She didn't really think through it. But when she was at school, she had a couple things happen. It flew her into this, you know, situation where she couldn't control herself, took some extra pills, ended up in the hospital. And then we sent her to an inpatient for a week and visited her. She came out and we noticed that she still needed more help. So we put her in an outpatient. And through that outpatient, she got a lot of strategies on how to deal with her anger and how to deal with herself. Mm-hmm. So then let's fast forward, and she's at this job and she's coping. She's still having issues with people, but she's doing much better. And then she meets this guy. He finds out she has some money. She borrows him a bunch of money, like $2,000. Mm-hmm. And to go to Canada so he can make all this money. And then I start seeing these signs of her feeling lethargic, not being very kind, just again, kind of reverting back to these really extreme behaviors. And so Steve and I were supposed to leave for a trip to Europe. We were doing a pilgrimage of St. Francis in Italy, and we found out that she was pregnant. And I mean, it just rocked my world. I was just completely and utterly, I mean, I just even before this, I had such pain in how to deal with her. So I read a lot of books on just how to deal with kids with disability. That was my first thing, was how do I help her to be a functioning adult where she can add to society by working and feel good about herself. So that was a big priority. So just think of any podcast, any book you could possibly read, Boundaries by Dr. Henry Cloud. Mm-hmm. So I read a lot of Christian books that dealt with just how to deal with yourself and how to take care of yourself while you're dealing with somebody that has some, you know, issues that are going on that they don't understand either. Mm-hmm. So we went on this trip and we decided just to completely forget about what's at home, even though it was impossible. But we enjoyed ourselves so much and we learned a lot about ourselves. And I think some of the reflections on St. Francis and him, you know, denying himself and being there for others helped us a lot just to cope with Maggie.
Well, and the fact that you took, I mean, I really give you a lot of credit for you and your husband deciding, you know, you were going to go away and give that time to yourselves and yourselves individually and yourselves together. I mean, that's one of the things I talk about, is that if we're not setting proper boundaries and we're not getting off the roller coaster, I mean, we're not taking care of ourselves. And oftentimes we do that. I almost didn't go on a trip that I had earned with, you know, with our business, because, and I have another girlfriend that almost did the same thing, because, well, what are our kids going to do if we're not there? But the fact is they get along, and because mm-hmm. we set them up for success before we leave. And it's important for us, right? It was important for you and your husband to get away. That was something you had planned, anticipated, and was really, again, very helpful for you. And like you said, you learned a lot. So,
yeah. And there's a point where you realize, you know, we can't be with our kids 24 hours. I mean, when Maggie tried to commit suicide, they said, well, don't keep her out of your sight. And it's like, you know, I know that was helpful at the time, but the reality is there's a point where you have to step back and say, okay, you are an adult now and you are making choices and you have to live with those. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we can't be around you 24 hours, and we're going to allow you, you know, if they're healthy enough for that, to have some time to try to figure out what you need to do. Mm-hmm. So it's a vacillation, because it's like, you don't want to live with the fact that you don't watch them enough so that they end up really do, you know, taking their life. So right. it's a real game there. But I do think, like you said, reading books and getting some time away. Steve and I dated. We just, every Friday night, we would go out and get a meal together, and then we'd watch a movie, just something to help you cope, because you have to do something to care for yourself. Otherwise, you can't really even be there for your kids that don't need the help, or they still need the help for a listening ear from mom and what's going on in their jobs and in their life.
Yeah. And you can't, I think you also want to be, again, I say this because I'm still learning this. I mean, you want to be an example for them, to show them that, yeah, when there are stresses that are going to come in your life, be it with yourself or your family or your friends, and how are you going to cope with that? Are mm-hmm. you going to just go into a shell? Are you just going to, you know, drink or, you know, self-medicate or whatever?
Right, right.
Or are you going to say, hey, you know what? This is important. This relationship with my husband's important. So this is what I'm going to do. Or I'm important to myself and I'm going to go take a yoga class, or I'm mm-hmm. going to go read a book and I'm going to close the door. And could you just like not bother me? And mm-hmm. I know that was really hard for me, even during this time, because I mean, I knew I needed the time, but it's like, you felt guilty. Like you said, you're mm-hmm. like, you were taking care of the one, and then you knew there were others that needed help. And I remember even my husband kind of reaching out one night, if you will. And I'm like, you know what? I just emotionally, mm-hmm. I just don't have it. Because mm-hmm. I've given so much, but
good point.
But doing those things for self-care or, you know, connection with your husband or your friends, that can fill you up so that you can mm-hmm. give to yourself and, you know, give to others too.
Yeah. That's such a huge part. I think you just, if you're not doing that, I really highly recommend, and I know Moira, you second this too, that you really look at things like that, like yoga, getting time away to read a book, even if you go to the library, or, you know, even getting some private time with the other kids.
Mm-hmm. right?
Or the other friends that really, you know, build you up and fill you. And I think.
Well, and I know you mentioned, you know, that sometimes, again, as you started to share the struggles that were going on, that some friends were like a little judgy and didn't understand. And again, I think it's just important to find those that do understand. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or even so, I've had so many people, they'll say, well, how are you doing? And how's your daughter? How's your daughter? Mm-hmm. Now, because people know this has been going on for a while. And I love that they remember that and they have a heart for my daughter. And there's some days that I say, you know what? She's doing okay. She's working on herself. And you know what? Tonight, I don't really want to talk about that. Let's mm-hmm. talk about you. And just setting that own personal boundary for myself to say, you know what? She's good. Thanks for caring. Let's talk about something else. Because mm-hmm. I found that even in the beginning, there was so much discussion, and because mm-hmm. it was weighing me down so much. And I felt like unloading that, and I unloaded it mm-hmm. so much. But then mm-hmm. I learned that, again, there are certain people that I can call and empty my bucket to, and can we pray together, and those type of things. And then other times it's like, you know what? I don't really want to talk about it. And it's okay to set mm-hmm. that boundary.
Yes, say, absolutely.
You know, I don't really
want to. It's important.
It's very important. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I found just to not judge the people that aren't there for you, but just appreciate the ones that are, because those people may be taxed with the things that they're dealing with. And some of my friends, I found that they had heavy things going on within their own family, maybe not similar to mine, so they couldn't really relate to it. But they had other things that made their tank very empty, and they really had nothing to give to me. But then there were other people that had, you know, 3/4 full tanks, and they would come over, they would, you know, rub my back, they would pray with me, they would, you know, just spend time with me, listening, I would listen to them. So mutual sharing of one another. And I really appreciated that.
Yeah. And I, you know, I learned through, perhaps you can relate to this too. I learned through this journey, continue to learn that it's okay to ask for help, you know,
yeah.
and it helped. I mean, I think I was raised to believe that when you asked, I mean, I was raised with a very strong mother who just, again, a very good example of just being resilient and being strong. Mm-hmm. And she didn't ask for help often. And so I kind of learned that, okay, I'm going to do it all myself. Well, and if you asked for help, it meant that things were really bad and you really mm-hmm. couldn't handle it. Well, I think what I've learned is the fact of the matter is asking for help is like, hey, you want to go to a movie together? And hey, mm-hmm. you know, do you want to be in a book club, or do you want to come over and rub my back, or, you know,
yeah.
or,
yeah.
you know, asking for help can just be, hey, can you be a friend of mm-hmm. mine? And that's okay to ask for help that way. It doesn't have to be this big, oh, yeah. I'm such a failure, I can't do it on my own. Mm-hmm. You know, asking for support, I like to say asking for support now, and how can I support you? Mm-hmm. It might mm-hmm. be like, you know what, I'm just going to take some cookies over. And you know, I dropped something off at a friend's house a couple weeks ago, last week. She's a customer of mine, a friend of mine. I saw from what she said on Facebook, she was struggling. And I just put some things in a bag and I wrote her a nice note and I left her on the porch. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't heard from her, but that's okay. I mm-hmm. did it because I felt like I wanted to support her. And I felt like she needed that. And perhaps, mm-hmm. you know, it was just something I could do.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good point, that as you see other things that remind you of your situation, to use it as an opportunity to think about what you appreciated. And I find myself too, like I have a cousin who lost her child, and that really helped her, and I just became closer because I knew that her grief was really large and so was mine. And so you kind of connect with people that are safe, is what you call them, because you don't want to share that with everyone, because some people just aren't safe people. They'll, mm-hmm. you know, they might bring back something from your past or something that right. is really irrelevant to the situation, but it just, you just know those safe people, and to really make sure you're nurturing them too. It
right.
helps you feel like you're making a difference for them and they're making a difference for you to hear.
Right.
So it's a mutual sharing.
Yeah. So you talked a little bit about, you know, kind of the relationships with your other children and things, and, you know, it did impact them. How have you found there to be healing within that, within, you know, relationships, or has there been healing amongst your other children and Maggie? I know you mentioned that one of your daughters might want to come on and share some of that sibling insight too, but how has that gone? Has there been some healing and some reconnection?
There has. I think since Enzo has been born, I think just even that piece initially was a shock for all. I have three other kids besides Maggie. And, but we all really came alongside her and supported her. I think we just band together as a family because this child was important. And I really see just them understanding Maggie a little bit better through having this child, because it gives them a common bond of someone to love, and just seeing how she stepped up to the plate, and she's a really good mom. Mm-hmm. And one thing I did ask her to do, to consider moving out into a CareNet facility, that's a one mother facility, because of my nature to nurture. It's a high end value for me. And so I really wanted her to be his primary nurturer. And so she is. She did move out, and it was a wonderful situation. She learned how to manage her time, how to set boundaries, how to cook. They just blessed her with so many counseling opportunities, and just came alongside her, and then got her set up in an apartment mm-hmm. after she was done with the program. And so I think I didn't realize how much pressure was in my home or how much was on my shoulders until she moved out. Mm-hmm. And I think it's been the best thing for both of us. And I think the other kids have seen her step up to the plate and be responsible, and to be appreciative and grateful for things that we all do to come alongside her. And I think it's really just, I think they've all matured through it and realized that some of their resentment was ill-founded, or, you know, mm-hmm. based on her, you know, some of her disability. And also, I think she's come to understand and appreciate them a little bit more too. So I think everyone's grown up through it. And some of my kids, the response was just unbelievable. It just made me cry. My oldest son and his wife offered right away that if she decided not to keep the baby, that they would take the child. Mm. I mean, things like that. And just, wow. I mean, yeah, I just really saw each family member step up. And Courtney, my second child and girl, offers to take Enzo a lot, and just adores him, and a really involved aunt. And then my third child, who's a boy, who is a man, and he's married. Him and his wife have just really taken to Enzo and just loved watching him. And they actually live with us right now because they were heading off to China. But anyway, so I just feel like, and even my husband, I think there's still some things that him and Maggie need to work through, because there's still some anger of things that had gone on when she wasn't really very healthy. And mm-hmm. so his first reaction to her being pregnant was really hard on my husband. So I think he's just come through that by reading books, trying to understand how basically somebody with a disability might respond to things, and forgiving her. I think there's a big piece of learning to forgive yourself for not responding how you wish you had, for them not responding to you like they should have. Mm-hmm. And even for all the kids, me forgiving them if they weren't super supportive of everything we did, or them forgiving me for not maybe responding to them like I wanted. So there's been a lot of forgiveness.
Yeah.
I think all of us just having strong relationships and continuing to spend time together helps mm-hmm. you understand one another and to grow as a family. So mm-hmm. I think that's been a big piece, just learning to forgive one another and yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good. I know you mentioned boundaries. I always ask people about books. You know, Boundaries is a good book. I need to go back to that every so often, mm-hmm. or often.
They have
than
a
not.
Second edition now, Moira.
Okay.
By Dr. Henry Cloud, and because my daughter's reading it now, and then there is a boundary for kids. Mm-hmm. He's got a few other options there. I think also Gary Smalley's Love Language is really good, just to understand the other person. Because I found myself like giving little gifts to Maggie, and I think for her, quality time is more of what her love language is. And so we kept missing each other. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, each member of your family, it's good to know what their language is.
Love language.
And then one of the books I read when Maggie was pregnant, because I think some of it was honestly pride for me to mm-hmm. think, I've read to them before they went to bed. I sang songs to them. We did so much together. We went on all these trips, and I never thought I'd have a child that would have a child out of wedlock, you know, not to point fingers, but because I'm not the best person either or whatever. I'm not perfect, I just didn't think that that would ever happen to me. And then here it was. And so I had to like say, you know, what makes you think that you're different than anybody else? We all struggle. And, how do we love Maggie? How do we love this little boy? Mm-hmm. And I remember when she first told me, my response was, you know what? It's God's love and kindness that brings us to him. It's not what we do. And so we will all work in this together. And I feel like just setting that course in your mind, this is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Our family loves each other, and we're going to learn to forgive and spend time together and appreciate each other. You know, just mm-hmm. something where you're setting that kind of intention, because it's real easy to set the intention of he's never going to make it. These negative thoughts and things. One of the books I read, which was excellent, by Ruth Graham, was I'm Pregnant, Now What? And it was about her granddaughter. And it comes from Ruth's perspective, her mom's perspective, and then also the daughter's perspective. Mm-hmm. And there were some amazing nuggets in that book. Mm-hmm. So I highly recommend that one.
Yeah, excellent. Yep.
And then we read a lot of St. Francis's material, because there was a lot of things about forgiveness and loving others and denying, not necessarily denying yourself to not self-love, but just realizing and understanding what other people have gone through and why some choices might have happened or why things happen to us, or things happen in our world, and how do we cope and love people despite mm-hmm. the reality that we're fallen people or that we don't have perfect lives on mm-hmm. this earth.
All good nuggets. Yeah. Well, I'm so thankful that you came today and shared. I know that every time I hear your story or that we talk, I learn a lot. And again, just really value our connection and our friendship. And I know others will really get some value from our conversation today. So thank you for that. Where can people find you if they do want to reach out and connect with you?
Well, I'm Tammy Metcalf Johnson on Facebook. So you can go there. Otherwise, and you can iMessage me. Also, I can give you my email, which is Tammy, T-A-M-M-Y, L as in Larry, J as in Jam, @outlook.com.
Okay.
Yeah. And I wouldn't mind anyone calling me or asking me for other references and books I read on just the pregnancy part of it, or even just dealing with family dynamics. Because you just keep finding resources and you read them. And we have a whole bookcase full of books and stuff that I refer to people on.
Right.
But those were the main ones that we shared.
Well, and I think that, again, everybody has a story. Everybody has things that I think we should be sharing with others so that, that we can help each other. So thanks mm-hmm. again, Tammy. And for those listening,
you're
again,
welcome.
Thank you for coming back and listening. Don't forget to visit my website, Gorski Wellness. I've got a couple of nuggets there of a free boundaries worksheet that you'll find there, and just some tips on how to set some boundaries and work around that. And again, keep coming back here as we continue to share about juggling the chaos of recovery and just taking care of yourself, showing up the best that you can, and having hope. So thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Do you feel like your juggling of your chaos is just too much and you want to reclaim your life and health? I'm here to help. I offer free 30-minute consultations where I can show you simple steps to help you get back on track. If you're interested, please connect with me. You can do that simply by reaching out on Instagram and send me a DM @GreenGorski or email me at Moira@GorskiWellness.com. Moira spelled M-O-Y-R-A. I look forward to hearing from you, and take care.